This is Jay Sekulow.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Yes, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. A lot of issues that have been, obviously, our thoughts and prayers and condolences still to those families in the horrible situation. We talked about it yesterday in the broadcast in Florida. And, we mean it when we say our thoughts and prayers. But I understand people have been concerned that there's got to be action, too. I think prayer is a form of action, by the way, but that's on a theological basis. And I think, look, that there's a horrific situation down there. They're investigating what may have fallen through the cracks or not. There's more information that came out that even today. So, again, our thoughts and prayers with everyone there. I do want to talk about something we were planning on reaching. We were unable to get to it earlier because of all the other news. And that is, you remember when we had the situation with the Department of Justice official Bruce Orr. He was, at one point, he was the number four at the Department of Justice. He was the one who brought the opposition research on Donald Trump to the FBI. In his financial disclosure forms that they file with the Department of Justice, if you're a government employee, he did not list, he put his wife's position down as a cyber threat analyst, but did not list that she was employed by Fusion GPS, although he did list that she was receiving a salary of some type. So here you have what appears to be a significant conflict of interest, but also a significant omission from the form. That in and of itself could raise serious legal issues, including criminal legal issues. But it also raises an issue, and I want to go to Than Bennett on this and kind of get, at the end of the week now, with everything that's happened, kind of get a sense on where we are and where you see things right now, Than.
Well, on this issue, Jay, I think it's pretty clear that Bruce Orr, Nellie Orr, his wife, Fusion GPS, Glenn Simpson, Christopher Steele, I think they were all hiding this relationship, Jay. And I'll just give you a couple of data points that I think Washington, D.C. is focused on. First of all, remember that Christopher Steele was terminated as a source for the FBI, yet the number four at the FBI, Bruce Orr, in this situation, maintained contact with him. And of course, he maintained contact because his wife was working for Fusion GPS. But Jay, the second data point that I would just pitch to you for consideration, when Glenn Simpson went before the House Intelligence Committee and was asked about how he continued to have this association, he acted like Bruce Orr was some random guy. He said, "I was asked to provide some information by a prosecutor named Bruce Orr," and he never volunteered, Jay, that Bruce Orr's wife, Nellie Orr, was an employee at Fusion GPS to the House Intel. So on both sides of this, on Bruce Orr's side and on Glenn Simpson's, you have an effort to conceal this relationship of Nellie Orr with Fusion GPS. They were trying to hide it, yeah. Jay, quite simply.
Yeah, and let me take it one step further because of what makes this more serious. We're talking about an attempt to undermine the President of the United States of America, the Commander-in-Chief, who these Department of Justice officials, whether they are bureaucrats, whether they were political appointees by previous administrations with different political views, they were attempting to undermine the President of the United States after his election and then concealing that. We're not saying it's necessarily a crime. There's ethics issues that possibly at the Department of Justice, if Bruce Orr was honest, he could have even gotten a waiver here.
Possibly.
He could have gone to the Department of Justice and at least tried.
Applied for a waiver.
Yes. But you know why I think he may not have gotten that? Because he was also doing this work. So it wasn't like, hey, by the way, my wife is also doing this. I want to let you all know since I'm number four at DOJ. And he got demoted over this.
Right.
But he was meeting with Christopher Steele also.
Right.
So he probably wouldn't have gotten the waiver, but he didn't even try to go through the normal processes. And this, to me, is more of that stink and that stench that comes out of this entire investigation.
All right, so let's go ahead and take a call, or take calls. We'll take your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. Our phone lines are open on this Friday, 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. So we're talking about, Bruce Orr was the number four ranking member of the Department of Justice in the order of hierarchy and leadership. He was the number four slot. He's no longer there, and that was because of this whole situation that developed between Bruce Orr and his wife, Nellie Orr, who worked for Fusion GPS. So this is the number four ranking Department of Justice official, wife working for Fusion GPS, on the Steele dossier with Christopher Steele, who Bruce Orr was meeting with. And then to complicate, if that wasn't bad enough, which it was, to complicate it, on the disclosure forms filed with the United States Office of Government Ethics, filed at the DOJ, Bruce Orr omits who she's working for. It just says cybersecurity analysis, doesn't say it's Russia, doesn't say it's Fusion GPS. But you've got, remember, there was a connection between Fusion GPS, Christopher Steele, and Bruce Orr. And even after Christopher, they distanced themselves, DOJ, from Christopher Steele. Remember that even after they distanced themselves from this, what happened? Well, they still had communication going on with him.
That's right. And I think here you've also got a significant, again, amount of money going to the wife of a top-ranking DOJ official. This DOJ official, just to make clear to everybody, was number four. He got demoted, by the way, he's still there. You know, he's still at the Department of Justice, still in charge, I believe, of their criminal drug trafficking division.
Yep,
so
division.
A big division, but he's no longer in the hierarchy of associate attorney generals. And so they demoted him because of this relationship. So it's not like obviously what we're putting together here is that they didn't just demote him because he had meetings with Christopher Steele and his wife was there. I believe it's likely that the demotion was linked to this disclosure, that his disclosure wasn't clear. And in a giant department like DOJ, at a time where they were in transition, he was trying to hide this from the next group coming in. Because let me tell you something. If Jeff Sessions saw information like this, do you think he would have recused himself? I mean, I'm honest. I'm just asking the people out there. Do you think he would have recused himself if he saw that his own new Department of Justice, number four, his wife, was working to undermine his boss as commander-in-chief, who he campaigned for, worked on that campaign trail for, got confirmed to be the a politically appointed attorney general who serves the United States, but at the pleasure of the president, was pressured to make that recusal before all of this information was out. We've talked about it before. If a couple more weeks had transpired, I don't think that recusal would have happened. I think, again, we're starting to see even some of these bizarre things with, like, the Flynn case. All this stuff is coming together right now of information that should have been out there.
Well, in the case, the judge is now asking for all documents to be turned over, even after a plea.
Because
you had
the sentencing until June.
You have the judge that accepted the plea, recused himself after he accepted the plea prior to sentencing.
So, and now it's pushed back till June.
Yeah, so who knows what's going on there. Now, Fusion GPS founder Glenn Simpson in November in a House interview, and this according to Daily Caller, quote, as the Daily Caller says, conspicuously omitted his relationship with Nellie Orr, painting Bruce Orr as someone who he was connected to independently. Investigators said you never heard from anyone in the U.S. government in relation to those matters, either the FBI or the Department of Justice. His response was, I was asked to provide some information by a prosecutor named Bruce Orr. Now, realize Nellie Orr was working for him at the same time. Investigators said, did Mr. Orr reach out to you? It was someone that Christopher Steele knows. I met Bruce too through organized crime conferences and something like that. Chris told me that he had been talking to Bruce, and Bruce wanted more information and suggested that I speak with Bruce. Simpson also said his firm was not affiliated with any Russian speakers, even though Nellie Orr appears to speak the language. And I don't know what that was probably just to do as far as translation and issues like that. But what is interesting here is they're acting as if Fusion GPS is acting as if they don't know. Really know Bruce Orr. Other than we've heard of Bruce Orr. Him through some conferences. Bruce Orr's wife worked for them.
Was specifically hired.
On this issue of Christopher Steele. So, I mean,
she was only hired to help with the dossier.
Correct.
That's her only reason why she worked for Fusion GPS. Bruce Orr's wife, who, by the way, you have to ask this question too. Did he get her the job? So did the number four DOJ guy say, hire my wife, she'll make sure you get the right information, and then give it to me, and I'll put the DOJ stamp on it. Remember this, a lot of this, this was suspicious to the Department of Justice because it was so outside of his job. Even as an associate attorney general in number four, right, his focus was supposed to be on this drug trafficking, which has nothing to do with this Russia dossier whatsoever. And he got his wife hired. They're playing dumb. These are not dumb people. These are very experienced journalist, supposedly Christopher Steele, they never confirmed this, by the way, was MI6. You never know. But obviously, he knew everybody in our government. Yep. I mean, he knew everybody in our government. This guy must have been in and out of the DOJ and meeting offsite with everybody you could imagine with top-level jobs.
There's been a referral on him made by Grassley and Graham because of leaking information. And the Department of Justice stopped working with him because of leaks. All right, so I want to know what your kind of opinion is on this, folks. How you view the situation right now as it relates to Bruce Orr, Fusion GPS, how you kind of view the whole inquiry right now. It's a good way to kind of end the week to discuss this. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Also, during the break, we talked a little bit about DACA and border security, but I think it's important for Thaner, Director of Government Affairs, to let everybody know where that is right now.
After 4 days yesterday of non-debate on the issue, the Senate finally took four votes on proposals to address the DACA and border security issue. Really, two of them were the main proposals. The one that was closest to the White House recommendation was drafted by Senator Grassley. That only got 39 votes in the United States Senate, Jay. The other comprehensive proposal, or I call it comprehensive, it was really just a DACA deal that looked a lot like the DACA deal on the Grassley version, did get to 54 votes, Jay. And we talked about this briefly. I want people to understand this. The border security that was proposed in that proposal specifically prohibited the building of a wall in the first year of those funds. So for them to say that they gave any ground on a building of the wall is not accurate. But, Jay, here's the bottom line. Neither one of them got enough votes to pass the United States Senate, so they're still negotiating.
So what do you think happens now?
They have got to find a way to get one of these to 60. I still think that you can get to 60 in the United States Senate, but we talked about this before. You have to have both funding for a wall and a permanent solution on DACA to get through the United States Senate. This proposal that was put forward by Senator Round, Senator King, and others, it did not have that, Jay. I think if they added that in there, I think it could get through the United States Senate.
I don't think they want to put it in there because if they would get signed, it would end the DACA crisis, which I think should be ended. I've said that I wanted comprehensive reform. I wanted border security for human trafficking, among other things, that could stop out of the southern border. But I thought what the president put forward was a very fair proposal, and they should have done it. That they do not want to get a deal on DACA.
We predicted it. That it's not that Democrats wouldn't sign straight up DACA; is that they are unwilling to compromise and willing to let these people all be deported. Let's be truthful. these people could all be deported very soon. I mean, I think these court cases will be overturned.
And the Democrats are willing to let that happen over denying funding on a border security of a cost that on our budget is insignificant.
So they'll let those families be separated, those people return back to another country just for politics.
Yeah.
And that's typical of this new Democrat behavior, this hard line, hard left behavior. Do everything possible to undermine this president, even if that means hurting people. When the Republicans, who have been very tough on immigration, are willing to help people who are here illegally, technically.
Yeah.
Who have no right to be here.
Right.
They have no right to be here other than the executive order, which though these couple of judges have ruled in on.
Let's
be honest.
Constitutional.
These judges
they'll be overturned.
Never ruled on the constitutionality of this.
No. And the fact of the matter is, I mean, I think, look, we said, I think there's a good compromise with border security and the southern border and the allocation of the funds for that and allowing a pathway to citizenship, which may take 10 or 12 years, but for the DACA participants, and I think it's a 12-year plan to put forward. 2 years have already gone by of that 12-year plan, the way they would credit it, and that would be a good compromise. But they do not want this off the table. That's what it is. Now, I always wondered, I mean, I guess they would have to, if you just put up a straight DACA bill, they'd have to sign it, right? I guess they'd have to, but they probably don't want that resolved, although they could claim a win, I guess, would be there, right, Dan? I mean, what would they do there? I'm being hyperbole.
They had an opportunity, Jay.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have put that bill on the floor yesterday. They didn't do it. What they did is they put a more radical bill that says you can be any age, even up to 65, and as long as you were under 16 by the time you entered, then you can get permanent status.
See, this is what they keep changing. They're moving the ball is what they're doing.
Yep.
And
they could
the
have
fact
put
is,
the clean dream bill on the floor, and they did not do it.
Yeah, they're not going to do it. And here's the other thing. This President Obama had a House and Senate control and didn't do it. So President Trump is saying, here's the deal. We're going to give you this. We'll give you the 1.8 million people that are here. They're still here illegally, but they're DACA participants. They qualify. They can get citizenship over the period of time specified in the law. And we want border security. That's it. It's a fair deal. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We're talking about a variety of topics today. I wanted to get into where we were on the DACA matter because a lot of people have been asking about it. Again, as we go into a break, thoughts and prayers go to the people of Florida and the horrific attack that took place there by a fellow student. And 17 dead still, 14 in, I guess, 3 in critical condition still. No changes on that, Will? Yeah, so let's pray for those families, folks. It means something. I think we need to be doing that. We'll be back with more, including your comments. We do have some phone lines open. We'll take some calls, take some comments as well at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture. and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're hitting a variety of issues today. Of course, our thoughts and prayers, condolences to the folks of Florida with that horrible tragedy there. We've talked about DACA and what's the latest on that. Than gave us an update on that. We're talking about this revelation with Bruce Orr omitting, who's still at the Department of Justice, his wife's work with Fusion GPS, just describing it as cyber analyst. So there you have it. All right, let's go ahead and take some phone calls.
Yeah, Robin's calling from Ohio on line 5. Robin, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Robin. Go ahead.
Hi, I've been following you for a while there. I'm really, really frustrated. You know, I took the abuse and the slander in 2016 as I supported Donald Trump. I voted for Donald Trump, and I voted for legislators that I thought would further the agenda he promised us. I see a man working hard to try and deliver it, but I see judges that are trying to overrule the Supreme Court. I see judges who act like they haven't even read the Constitution, and I see our DOJ, our FBI, our CIA running wild like nobody.
Well, look, let me hit the judges first, because here's what happens. In our constitutional system, if somebody wants to challenge the constitutionality of law or rule or regulation or executive order, you have the authority to do that. And a judge is an Article III judge is a lifetime appointment, and they get to decide the case. But that's the district court judge. I said when all of those executive orders were going forward on the vetting for incoming people from six designated countries, that in fact, when it got to the Supreme Court of the United States, they would win, the administration would win. I still believe it. They won it interimly, and the interim order was 9-0. These courts of appeals are being overturned. But that's in the Constitution system we live in. You get that. Now, on the DACA portion of this and the negotiation portion of this, this is where it's frustrating for people. I thought this was a great compromise, a political solution to help the DACA participants, but also get border security in place. And it's politics at its worst.
Yeah, I mean, so the Supreme Court is meeting today to decide if they're going to take up that DACA case immediately out of the – so bypassing the circuits, which you could right. – when these extraordinary circumstances right. arise of presidential power – the Supreme Court can do that. You can actually bypass the middle ground, if you will, where most cases get decided. Now, there is a question going on right now that this is more into the policy of Article III judges, and do these district court judges actually have the power to issue nationwide injunctions?
Well, that's a different question. Can a sitting district
not
court
to their district? To, but yeah, to the
can
nation.
A sitting that's always been a question of law. Can a district court judge? I've dealt with this a lot. I've dealt with it in the Supreme Court. I've dealt with it in courts of appeals. Can a district court order bind the entire country? In other words, you could right. say it's one thing to say in this district you cannot have this particular activity or we declare this unconstitutional, right. but does their jurisdiction, their territorial jurisdiction, extend outside of that district? And there's the law's in conflict on that, and a lot of courts say no, they can't. Some courts say they can. But ultimately, these major issues are going to be decided by the
yeah.
Supreme Court.
Yeah, I mean, most cases end up at the Supreme Court because circuit courts
are split,
and that's because they say in our circuit – we're not going to allow this.
Right.
And then the other circuit court, which has, you know, a handful of states up to
so
more
we
than
are going to allow
we
it.
Are going to allow
it. Circuit conflict is the number one reason that Supreme Court cases get
but they're
reviewed.
Issuing nationwide injunctions, and they are the lowest level appointed yeah. Federal court judges. And the most, I'd say a lot of times the most partisan, because they are oftentimes not as much check on them when they go through the confirmation process.
Yeah, district court judges lost, certainly.
And so because a lot of deference to the president at the time. But I think that too, that it all goes together. So it delays a process, but you know what? It's no good anyways. I mean, all this process will say is that if the Supreme Court takes it, goes on the side of the president, that he can revoke an executive order by a former president, which I think is pretty clear. Guess what happens? Because of Democrats, all of those people who subjected themselves to this DACA protection are eligible for deportation.
Well, I said that when I gave that testimony on this, that there had to be a permanent fix. And look, I'm in favor of comprehensive immigration reform. I've said that consistently. You're not going to deport 12 million people. You're not going to deport these DACA participants. But so we need a system in place that gets them paying taxes, participating in our system. And for the DACA participants, I have no problem with a pathway to citizenship, so long as that is a pathway like my grandfather's, which was about 14 years. So this particular case, it's 12 years, 2 years have already expire. They'll give them credit for 2 years. I thought that was a fair compromise. I think that's a good way to handle this. And then you can get into a more comprehensive immigration reform. We had an interesting comment came in on Facebook, and Ted on Facebook says, does the FBI consider omissions of information lying? They can. Mm-hmm. And that depends on whether there's a violation of the law.
On the form that Bruce Orr would file out, it says the quote, falsification of information required to be filed by Section 102 of the Ethics in Government Act of 1978 may also subject you to criminal prosecution as well as civil monetary penalty and to disciplinary action by your employing agency. I think he's experienced some disciplinary action by being demoted.
Yes, because he lost his number four slot as Associate Attorney General. He has not been fired. Seems like you can never fire him over there, it looks like. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-31. Tell them to take another call.
Yeah, back to the phones we go. This is a good one for Than. Valerie in Tennessee on line six. The president has pushed this as well, this idea of the Senate makes its own rules. But, Valerie, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to know if the Republicans could just change the rules and vote on DACA, passing it with 51 votes.
Than?
Yeah, the answer is they could. I mean, the one caution I would give the caller is yesterday what we saw is the only bills that actually reached the 50-vote threshold were DACA-only bills. They were the ones that did not allow the construction of a wall. So that would be one of the considerations that has to go in. But at its foundation, we've explained this on the show many times, Jay, the rules of the Senate are set by the Senate. They are not enshrined in the Constitution.
Right.
And if they wanted to move to a simple majority to pass legislation, they could do it.
Yeah, that's fact. So, will it happen? I don't know. We'll see. I think we'll grab one more call before the break. Again, if you want to talk to us, we're here for another 30 minutes, 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's go to Nancy in Pennsylvania on line three. Nancy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I've been wondering after I've been listening about this DACA all the time. President Obama did this by executive order. He did not have the support of the Congress. Obama doesn't have the right to make laws. So why are all these judges saying, oh, well, DACA
we challenged the executive orders because we did not think the president had the underlying statutory basis upon which he could execute an executive order. We've said that in court. We had courts agree with us. We also said it in proceedings because I think in court it was the DAPA program.
It was. That was the one that was the most challenged. And here the case is that President Trump has said, I am revoking this. It's March 5th. Courts have tried to delay that,
How does a court delay an executive order that can expire? I just don't see it.
I mean, it doesn't even have to expire. It can expire the moment a new president comes in and this day one in office. He could have just rejected.
I warned these DACA participants. I said, these short-term fixes are not a good long-term solution.
Yeah, I mean, people just don't understand. I mean, Marilyn on Facebook, if DACA is not a law, which it's not, then how can a judge demand it be upheld? And why are they even? Is it even under the jurisdiction of these judges? I mean, the jurisdictional issue would be: does a president even have the power what they call deferred action that affects so many people in conflict with the laws that are on the books of our nation?
All right, we're going to be here for another 30 minutes. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, as Logan always says, you would just go over to Facebook, Jay Sekulow on Facebook. We're broadcasting there. You can go to aclj.org, of course, SiriusXM, and a whole host of stations carry the full hour now. But if yours doesn't, just join us over at aclj.org or at Facebook or Periscope, and we'll be broadcasting to you there. Again, make sure you engage with the ACLU. ACLJ. You can do that on our Facebook pages. You could do that on our other social media platforms. We encourage you to do that and support the work of the ACLJ. You could do that at aclj.org. aclj.org. We're going to be back with more, including your calls and comments, in just a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Again, our thoughts and prayers with the people of Florida, for the victims, for those that are still in the hospitals, our prayers for recovery there. Horrible situation. Something needs to be done. It's easy to say that, but we really need to look. I mean, whether it's enhancing security at schools, there's a lot of things that can be done, steps put in place that could improve the situation. Some of this information that came out about what the law enforcement knew has gotten much worse since what we talked about yesterday. Multiple reports on this guy. How many were there, Will, total? 36 times, and they couldn't locate. I mean, this. I don't want to get into that on this weekend because you got people in the hospital fighting for their life. But again, we talked about it yesterday. I do want Than to give us an update quickly on the DACA, where we are on the legislation. Then we'll get back on this Bruce Orr matter. But Than, let's talk about where we are legislatively. They're out next week. I'm sure there'll be negotiations going on. March 5th is what the president says is the deadline for DACA. He wants that he'll go with DACA. If you get border security, where are we right now?
Well, the Senate has left town without a resolution, Jay, and on the DACA piece, there were two votes yesterday that essentially were very close to each other, would have provided permanent pathway to citizenship for the DACA population. They were in both the Democrat proposal and the Republican proposal. So on that, there is some unity, Jay, but it's on the border security piece that Democrats have not been willing to come to President Trump and the Republicans in the Senate side. They say that they authorize funding for border security, but Jay, there's a prohibition in there against building a physical structure. So, I mean, that's just
Why are they so opposed to a physical structure? Because they don't like the symbolism, but really because a lot of countries have physical structures. And by the way, you have a physical structure, many of you, with your neighbor, and they're called your fence. I mean, I don't understand. They're doing. I know what it is. It's all politics. But the fact is, I think at the end of the day, what we have to realize is they will not. They want DACA still dangling out there as a political issue. That's what I really believe this is.
Yeah, but I think, listen, this is a president who's tough on immigration. They don't get this done, and the courts clear the way for him to deport the people. I would not put it past the President of the United States to order the Department of Justice to go about doing it because the Democrats have left the people out there, and the president deeply believes, so do his advisors, so do we at the ACLJ, that's unconstitutional. So how's he supposed to keep letting these people stay here?
Well, I think the thing what he's saying
legislation.
Is he's saying March 5th is the deadline. He's the art of the deal guy. You need to get this needs to be worked out. And I can't imagine why a deal with DACA with 1.8 million people, or that I think is roughly the number, and border security could not be hand in hand. I just don't see it. I do not see how that can be an issue. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We're also talking about the Bruce Orr omission. He was demoted. He was the number four at the Department of Justice. We now found out that he listed his wife's position as a cyber analyst. Did not say she was working for Fusion GPS, which was the one who did the Steele dossier. So that raises an interesting issue as well.
It's also interesting that when Glenn Simpson, who was the head of Fusion GPS, was before a House committee, he omitted all this information about Nelly Orr and Bruce Orr. That was in August of 20, before the Senate Judiciary Committee, August 22nd, 2017. He interviewed with the Senate Judiciary Committee. He didn't even mention the Orrs by name. He said he had not met with any. These guys, they're not dumb. He did not meet with any FBI officials, didn't mention his DOJ contacts. Now, when he got hauled into a court proceeding,
right,
December 12th, this is his statement. Bank records reflect that Fusion contracted with Nelly Orr, a former government official expert in Russian matters, to help our company with its research and analysis of Mr. Trump. He is not, once he got into court,
so
he wasn't playing games anymore.
So a DOJ official's wife is working for the firm that's doing the opposition research against the president, then the candidate.
And, of course, he said, I'm not aware of any other sources from which the committee, he was talking about his former, the Senate Judiciary Committee, or the media could have learned this information, but through his bank records. But,
those were subpoenaed.
Yes, that came through the court process. So they were hiding this as long as they could, and they hid it till the end of last year.
Yeah. All right. We're taking your calls and comments on this. We're talking about DACA, 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. We'll be back with your calls and comments in just a moment. Again, I'm saying it every break, but I mean it. Prayers and thoughts for the recovery of those that are still in the hospital fighting for their lives and down in South Florida. So again, your prayers and thoughts make a big difference, and we encourage you to do that. We'll be taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We'll grab some comments as well coming in from Facebook and Periscope. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in just a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let me go through a couple of things here. So we've been hitting a little bit about the DACA. We've been hitting a little bit about this Fusion GPS thing. And that's because the number four DOJ, we got demoted, Bruce Orr's wife, we're looking at on their public disclosure form, and this just came out. And on the public disclosure form, what is missing is the employer for Nellie Orr, which happened to be Fusion GPS. She worked for them, working on the Steele dossier. And they acted as if they kind of didn't really know, when you listen to the testimonies, like they didn't even know who these people were. Oh, yeah, well, Bruce Orr, we met him from some conferences. Meanwhile, he was the conduit for all this while his wife was working for the opposition research firm while he was the number four at the United States Department of Justice. So it just doesn't pass the smell test, and there's a whole host of legal and ethical issues that are on that. So, again, we want to let you know that. We're talking about that. We're taking your calls on other issues as well, 1-800-684-3110. Marilyn on Facebook said, if DACA is not the law, then how can a judge demand it be upheld? Well, here's the interesting thing. DACA has basically been, deferred action has basically been executive orders.
Yeah.
How it does raise the question of how they keep this going. I mean, I'll go to Jordan first, then Than.
It is, to me, I think, you know, we had the challenge to the deferred action for the parents of these people. And that got struck down, and the Obama administration did not appeal it.
No, that got, it was they took it to the Supreme Court, and it was affirmed 4-4 vote, which meant that law stayed, and we were correct. Yeah, it was unconstitutional.
And so they didn't keep fighting there. There was a little bit of hesitation because I think Americans are
DACA.
More sympathetic to the actual
children.
What DACA covers, which is minors who came in.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and they came in as minors, so they didn't come in as adults. They came in as minors. Are they then subject to – did they violate the law? There's some questions there. I think technically under our immigration laws right now, they have no right to be here other than for this program. I mean, that's just the truth. People want to see this program, for the most part, most Americans, the polls are out there, extended. But to get the Republicans and conservative Americans on board with that, they want to see border security. I mean, that's just the bottom line truth. And listen, I know we got calls in about – you know, Susan wrote in – I think we need comprehensive immigration reform. I'll go to Than Bennett. I mean, Than, if we can't get to DACA with border security, which every Republican, and I agree with this pledge, you do nothing to legalize a single person here illegally until you secure our southern border. You do not pass a single piece of legislation that allows that to occur without securing our southern border. So you're not going to get to comprehensive immigration reform if you can't get passed handling what people estimate is 1.8 million. I think it might even be less people than that once you actually have to go through all of the vetting that is required and the necessary requirements to be it. But you're not going to get to comprehensive immigration reform if you can't get past this much smaller hurdle.
Jordan, the evidence of what you're saying is this week. I mean, the White House only proposed four simple pillars. The first one was, of course, DACA, which, by the way, Republicans gave Democrats essentially three times what they were asking for on that. So you take that one off the table. A second one, what it was, what's called the Diversity Visa Program, which at least in profession, both sides of the aisle agree on. The third one is chain migration. There was some disagreement in that. But, Jordan, the proposal that was put forward by Democrats really did not address that. And then, of course, the fourth one is the wall. And we've talked about this many times today. They are not willing to authorize funds for this law. So none of those proposals got the 60 votes necessary. That is a far cry from comprehensive immigration reform. I think you're correct, though. If you cannot boil it down to two of these issues and get that passed,
yep,
you can forget about a more comprehensive bill.
Let's go to John, who's calling from Georgia on line one. John?
Hey, nice to talk to you, Jay.
Yep.
I admire your work on
Thank
TV
you.
And on the radio.
Thanks.
The reason that I'm calling, Trump took an oath to be president, and he swore to uphold and protect the laws of the United States and the Constitution.
Right.
So, under the Constitution, as commander-in-chief, our security comes under his purvey. So why couldn't he just go ahead and say, we're going to build the wall because it's in our national security interest?
Because he can't allocate the funds. That's the job of Congress.
Yeah, I mean, that's the separation of powers. The president can propose the policy. He can propose the plans. He can and then execute the plans. But Congress has to give the money. And if the Congress refuses to give the money, President Trump cannot order that. Now, on the DACA issue, we believe, and I think most people are being honest about it, believe that if you take executive actions, or if you want to call it deferred actions, that the next administration could say, we're no longer going to defer these actions. We're not going to defer these actions
anymore.
Yeah,
so it doesn't help these DACA participants at all. That's why you got to get this thing resolved. I tell Congress, I think it's a fair trade. You get the 1.8 million people here through a legalized process under DACA and you get border security, which also stops human trafficking. I mean, people forget that aspect of what's going on the southern border, and we should not forget that.
Well, and the terrorism the drug. So you got drug trafficking, human trafficking, terrorism, and we don't see the same issue on the northern border. And by the way, if we did, I think we'd build a wall there too, but we don't see the issue.
Right.
I mean, so people try to make that distinction. And some of this is because the country you've got on the northern border, you're dealing with one nation. Okay, so on the northern border, you're dealing with Canada.
Right.
And Canada is responsible for itself. They also want security, so we're working more tandem.
Right.
In Mexico, one, you have governments that are not as strong as drug cartels. I mean, they'll admit that to you. They
right.
cannot. The judges get killed. You have a lot of
prosecutors.
I mean, it's a very tough job there to be a mayor or a prosecutor or a judge. I mean, it's a death sentence basically to take on those positions.
Yep.
Those people try. But it's not just Mexico. See, Mexico is then dealing with the rest of Central America.
Right.
Then South America.
Right.
So you're taking a country which has a lot less resources than like what we have on our northern border, by the way, you know, with Canada, and trying to say, what are we going to let Mexico honestly try to be responsible for securing this? They don't have the resources. It really is up to the United States. They could, even if they were more helpful, and I don't think they're as helpful as they could be in Mexico, by the
right.
way, because by the way, on their southern border, they are very strict.
Right.
And people still get through, but it is military on the southern borders there between with Guatemala and Honduras.
Yep.
So they've got them, but it's tiny. If you look at it on the map,
yep.
comparatively, this is a very tiny area.
Yep.
And you know what the truth is? They're letting people who are economically burdening their country easily pass through to the United States. And sometimes, remember, they were writing guides
yep.
on what to do and how to get through. And it's enabling a whole criminal enterprise of human trafficking.
It is. Terrible.
Aside from the drugs and the terrorism.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Let's take another call.
Yeah, let's talk to Rita in Brooklyn, New York, online too. Rita, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Rita, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
First, I want to say condolences to all of the families
yep.
who lost children. And I'm very simple. I listen to you guys most days. I am not a Republican, so
okay.
it's hard to listen. But
we have a lot of Democratic listeners and Democratic friends. Go ahead.
The thing that drives me nuts is President Trump told us that Mexico was going to pay for that wall. This is $70 billion. It's not a little money. And it would be better used, in my opinion, in America. There are people who need work. Infrastructure needs to be taken care of. That money could be better spent, in my opinion. And I am not convinced that a wall is going to eliminate the problem.
Well, you don't think you do think, though, a wall would be a deterrent, for instance, to human trafficking, to drug flow, to terrorists, because it makes it harder to penetrate the border. So with regard to the payment, they're looking at an expenditure of right between $18 billion and $25 billion.
Over a
10-year process to build it out.
So that's statistically, at least part, to our budget, that is.
It's an insignificant number to our budget, to the United States budget. But look, as far as who's going to pay for it or not, the president said he was going to evaluate methods upon which there could be reimbursements back, whether it's through
trade. Through trade rules.
Yeah.
And the renegotiate.
I think it's not a big enough number to be that concerned with. I'd like to get I read a report the other day that human trafficking in the Midwest and Southeast is a pandemic standpoint. I mean, it's unreal. And their call come. It's a lot of it. 90% of it's coming in through the southern border.
By the way, all of those entry points through Mexico and people that are in these areas that are used to this, some of us did not grow up that way with having that border like this, so a two-hour drive or less away. But those who did, those will still be there. So for people who've got legal passports and reasons to be here, and so whether they are truckers bringing goods through, things like that, you're going to be able to legitimately pass through Mexico to the U.S. as easily as you can now. And right now, coming from the U.S. side, it takes seconds. Coming back in, it can take longer because the U.S. is doing a little bit more to secure. But a lot of that is looking for drugs, looking for people stuffed into the back of 18-wheelers who are suffocating. And we've seen that happen far too often. I don't know how you can make a comment that wall is not going to stop anything. I mean, the truth is that these people are not... The drug traffickers have tried those underground tunnels. Those have been found out before. Most people are not getting through a wall.
Yeah, we'll talk about this maybe in the next segment of the broadcast, but the FBI has just said that it failed to follow its own protocols when it received a tip last month about the Florida shooting suspect's desire to kill people. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. We said this yesterday, folks. FBI says it failed to follow its own protocols. Unreal. It's been happening too much. We gave you the analysis on that. Let's take the last segment of the program. We'll delve into this during the break. Okay, we'll take your phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to try to focus now on Florida and the situation there. Pray for those people. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
goes back to the Florida situation that is significant. And we were expressing our sympathies on this, and we continue to do that. But there is a concern on the FBI front that is very significant here. And I want to read what we just were given handed to us. The FBI in January received a tip to a public reporting line that Nicholas Cruz might carry out a school shooting, but failed to pass the information to its Miami field office or investigate any further. The FBI failed to act on a tip last month that he might carry out a school shooting. The Bureau acknowledged the startling last lapse. This is in a statement from the Washington Post, by the way, saying a person close to Cruz had contacted the Bureau's public access tip line on January 5th and provided, quote, information that about Cruz's gun ownership, desire to kill people, erratic behavior, disturbing social media posts, as well as potential for him conducting a school shooting. On Wednesday, of course, Cruz killed 17 people and wounded 14 others. The Bureau said the information should have been assessed as a potential threat to life and passed to the Miami field office, but was not, and no further investigation was conducted at that time. This is absurd. This is absurd. Now, you want to go back to Omar Martin and the Pulse nightclub shooting, where he was on the radar, interviewed three times. Or Esteban, who was the guy that did the attack on the Fort Lauderdale airport, who went to the FBI, said he was having mental issues, mental disabilities, was possessed, had his brain taken over by ISIS, wanted to hand his guns, and they give them back to him. What about in Florida? Now, excuse me, in Texas, the military situation there, where that shooting that took place at the church, court-martialed, jailed. Never... should have never had access to a gun, was not given to the database. Dylan Roof did the shooting in the African-American church in South Carolina. And and James Comey said, we made a mistake. The FBI did not communicate. This is nonsense.
It's unbelievable, really. This was under Jim Comey's watch because he was setting the tone. I mean, I'm not going to blame Christopher Wray at this point because he's been there for, what, 6 weeks?
I don't know who to blame, but I'll tell you this.
I don't know. Obviously, from the top.
What is the problem where they cannot follow their own protocols? What is so – is it because they're operating in a 1973 model and we're in 2018? Or is it just general incompetence? But this is not acceptable. And I want someone to defend this. I want someone on the left to say this is okay. They're not going to do that because I will say this, and I said it yesterday. Our friend Jake Tapper at CNN was right on top of this, and he was – when he just scratched the surface of this yesterday.
Yes, I mean, so you've got all of the reasons why you could
have... You want to have oversight hearings, by the way? This might be a good one. How about a special counsel for this? That the FBI can't figure out how to handle this.
Crimes.
Yeah, which is what they're supposed to be doing.
I mean, their main focus, until they even got the added focus on terrorism, which, by the way, a lot of this ties in together because we're talking about all cases where we've seen this time and time again. None of these people are actually lone wolves. They are not appearing out of nowhere. They are not radicalized or mentally ill in one day. You know, they're telling people, I'm going to do this.
Let me tell you
they're
what you
running,
don't want.
Remember San Bernardino? Let's not forget. Facebook pages radicalized, posting ISIS propaganda.
Right. This is not a text alert you want to get. And this is what it says. FBI says it failed to follow its own protocols when it received a tip last month about Florida shooting suspects' desire to kill people.
It's interesting because yesterday they were blaming the old protocols. They're saying they can't even follow those old protocols.
Yeah, well, now this is what Christopher Wray said. We're still investigating the facts. I'm committed to getting to the bottom of what happened in this. But that's a lot of solace for the 17 people, kids that are dead and the two coaches, or three coaches, two coaches and a teacher. That's a lot of solace. I'm investigating. As a matter of reviewing our process for responding to information that we receive from the public, it's up to all Americans. I can't even believe they said this. It's up to all Americans to be vigilant. And when members of the public contact us concerned, we must act appropriately. You know, you see something, say something. How about you see something, you say something, you do something. Federal Bureau of Investigation. This is horrendous. What is going on? This has nothing to do with Russia. This has everything to do with safety and 17 dead innocents in Florida because the FBI didn't follow a tip from a classmate to this guy a month ago.
And these are people that had the guts to call the FBI. I mean,
unbelievable.
Most people don't.
Right.
But on these situations, what we have seen is either lapses in protocol, basically. Lapses in tips? So they keep telling us, say something, say, you know, if you see something, say something. Why? What do you, what's the FBI doing about it? I mean, so far, again, they're allowing these are occurring at way too high of a rate with people that are so predictable, so obvious that they would carry that out. And there's no interdiction made. They don't get involved. See, if the FBI started showing up at these people's houses on a daily basis and started looking into what they were writing and the threats that they were making, into the level of threat, you can be apprehended.
I've got four grandchildren that go to, as most people listen to this song, you have children and grandchildren that go to preschools or schools. And if I'm those parents in Florida right now and I'm thinking about what this FBI agent gets up there and makes those statement, it's nauseating. There are 17 people dead, 3 clinging for their life. I mean, I read those stories. Pam showed it to me online yesterday. Somebody put up a tribute to the kids and to the teachers. And one of them was a soldier who was also a coach who put himself on top of kids. Of course, this guy's weapon he was using was so powerful that it went right through everybody. But this is really, really tragic. So here's what we're going to do, because this is not acceptable. We are going to go off the air in a few moments, and I'm going to come back on in a little bit, maybe a little bit later, and we're going to discuss this. And I'm going to get some of our experts on here, because I'm sorry, this is unacceptable. And Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs, the government needs directing.
Yeah, my heart and mind. Although, I mean,
like, unreal.
17 families,
dead
Jay.
Kids and parents.
Are without their children. And if I'm in their situation today,
the guy was notified a month ago that this guy was going to do it.
Here's what I hear when that statement's read, Jay. I hear, as the father of children,
sick.
This could have been stopped, it should have been stopped, and it wasn't stopped, and they're missing their children because of it. It's not acceptable.
You know, I don't understand this. I don't understand what's going on in our agencies that they can't, and these statements are so cavalier, so callous. We are still investigating the facts. I'm committed to getting to the bottom of what happened in this particular matter. That does nothing for these 17 families, Christopher Ray. As well as reviewing our process for responding to information that we receive from the public, it's up to all Americans to be vigilant. And when members of the public contact us with concerns,
I don't like
any of this.
Americans, though we have a Second Amendment right, those kids don't. They're going in there protecting. They can't protect themselves. One security guard there cannot protect against this.
Nope.
It's the FBI's job, and they know, they should have notified. Did they notify local law enforcement? Obviously not. Now, local law enforcement can get called 36 times. They've got to have reason to arrest. The FBI has the investigative tools to find the reason to arrest the person. And the actual direct threats made, see, there's one thing to say, this person is scaring me. It's another when the person is saying, I'm going to do this. When you say you're going to do this, you can now be arrested. And so this could have been stopped.
Yeah.
Another time, this is now, I think, of the last 4 or 5 of these kind of incidents, whether it was terror-related or criminally related or mental related, were people that could have been stopped. And there were plenty of Americans who did what the FBI keeps saying. We need to be vigilant. Then why are all our taxpayers going to all these guys to pay their salaries so that we have to be the ones scared all the time? I thought they're supposed to be the ones who are kept up late at night by the scare of threats of these things, not us. Then we say they are.
Yeah.
They love to use that excuse when they testify before Congress. It keeps me up at night. Really? Because your press person just put together a weak statement.
Understatement. Meanwhile, pray for those families. Pray for those ones hanging on. We'll have more on this later in the day today. I think we'll probably come back on air in a little bit. All right, we'll talk to you. Have a good weekend and pray for those families. Back with more later.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.